parsha. We have parsha's Noach. Noach is a loaded parsha, a story that we all know. When we were young children, we learned about the story of Noach. My son, my little guy's in Gan. The Gan, the Gan leaders in my son's school. This day, a field day, projects galore. Make a teva of three. Everyone knows three sections: the bottom for the garbage, the middle for the animals, the top for the people. We even know the story of Noach very, very well. After the entire story of the Mabul, after the Mabul's over. So, unfortunately, there's some sad events that take place in Parshas Noach. And one of them is, Noach leaves the Teva. This is the beginning of Shishi. And it says as follows, V'yachal Noach isha adama v'yita karen. Noach, the first thing he plants after he gets out of the Teva is a vineyard. And the Midrashim explained to us, this next words in the Pasuk is, he drinks from the wine. He plants a vineyard and he drinks from the wine? Like, what? You don't do that. You don't plant the vineyard and drink from wine. A miracle happened, says the Midrashim. And the vineyard unbelievably became wine on the same day. And on the same day, he drank from the wine and he got drunk. Vayishkar. And then unfortunately, Vayizgal b'socha alo, he was acting like a drunkard in his tent. Says the pasuk, "Vayar Cham avi Chanan asaras aviv." Cham does something terrible to his father. Whatever he does, it's machlokas Rashi. Whatever he did, something very, very bad to his father. Vayagil shnei achav b'chutz. He tells his brothers, Shem and Yefes are outside. What took place? Says the pasuk. Listen carefully and tell me which word is difficult in this pasuk. Vayikach Shem vayefes es hasimla. Shem and Yefes take the garment and they put it on their shoulders. They walk backwards to their father so there shouldn't be a lack of tznius, like we've learned in the Gemara, tznius and putzos, right? They don't want to see their father uncovered, revealed. And they walk backwards and they cover their father and they don't see their father's there. What's the problem in this pasuk? Which word is difficult in this pasuk? I'll read it again. Vayikach Shem vayefes es hasimla.
Two people.
Excellent. It should say Vayikhu. And they took Shir and Yefes. Take this garment. Why does it say Vayikach in the singular? Says Rashi on the spot. Listen to this beautiful Rashi. This Rashi is the whole smooth today. Says Rashi. Vayikach Shem Vayefes. Ein Ksiv Kan Vayikhu Ela Vayikach. It says Vayikach in the singular. Limei. Why? Al Shem, Shenis Amitz b'mitzvah Yosef miYefes. Shem involved himself in the mitzvah more than Yefes. Shem was more proactive in this mitzvah of covering his father than Yefes was, and therefore it says Vayikach Shem vaYefes. Who took? They both took, but Shem exerted himself more. Shem did more. Shem was more involved. Maybe Shem was the leader of Shem and Yefes, of the Shem and Yefes team, to go ahead and cover their father Noach. And therefore Rashi continues and explains that Shem was given the greater reward. The greater reward? Look at Rashi for the rewards. And I want to share with you a beautiful thing I saw last night on this Rashi, a beautiful elaboration of the Chafetz Chaim. Okay, fine, it's true. Shem worked a little harder. Shem exerted a little more. That's why it says Vayikach. Okay, so Yefes didn't do as much. But give him a little credit. It should still say Vayikhu. It's true, you're right. Shem was the leader. Shem was more, exerted more effort. But give me a Vayikhu, give me something for Yefes. Says the Chafetz Chaim, a beautiful idea. Listen carefully, Rabbi Osnay. Says the Chafetz Chaim, when it comes to measuring things, in the spiritual realm, it's very, very different than measuring things in the physical realm. Let's explain. He says, how do you want to measure? Let's say you want to measure someone's wealth. This person has $1 million. Next person has $2 million. How much more wealthy is the first person, is the second than the first person? The answer is $1 million more, double. 1 billion is one. 2 million is double 1 million. That's how you measure things physically. But when it comes to the spiritual realms of the Chofetz Chaim, it's very, very different. We don't measure things the same way. There's a different measuring yardstick when it comes to spirituality. The smallest action, the smallest difference can make an unbelievable difference in the spiritual world. Says the Chofetz Chaim, Siva Mashal. He says, let's say one person knows one mesechta of Shas, and another person knows two mesechtas of Shas. What are you going to say? The second guy knows double the first guy? No! It's not double the first guy. It's qualitatively a whole new world. This guy only knows mesechtas Megillah, and this guy knows Megillah and Tanis. Like Aladdin says, a whole new world! It's not just double. It's something much greater. I don't know so much about diamonds. But a 1-carat diamond versus a 2-carat diamond, or a 14-carat diamond versus 20, it's not just 6 times more valuable. 20 diamonds, 20 carats over 14 carats, it's totally a different world. It's a world that's my brother's into diamonds a little bit. I'll ask him later what the difference between a 20-carat and a 14-carat is in the market. It's a different world. Says the Chofetz Chaim, when it comes to the realm of spirituality, the same thing applies. We don't measure things, he did a little, he did a little more. No. Every little bit that a person does in the spiritual realm is meaningful and is unbelievably valuable. And that's the Pasuk telling us over here about when it comes to shame. Vayikach shem vayefes. His little exertion, his little more that he did, is recognized by the Torah as if he was the only one that did it. Wow. What a far. I'd like to share with you one of the most beautiful Gemaras. The Gemara says in Maseches Chagiga, on page 9b, Testament Beis. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Malachi. The Gemara says as follows, it says in the Pasuk, V'shavtem, go out, Urisem, and see, Bein Tzadik L'Rasha. The difference between a Tzadik and a Rasha. Bein Oved Elokim, between the person that serves God, L'asher Lo Avado, to the one that doesn't serve Him. And the Gemara asks the obvious question. It's redundant. Isn't a tzaddik the opposite of a rasha, and an oved Elokim the opposite of a shel avado? So why does it say tzaddik and rasha, oved Elokim and lo avado? And says the Gemara, the most amazing answer is this: hold on to your seats. Hold on to your seats. Says the Gemara, you know what? You're right. Avado lo avado. Says the Gemara, tavayu tzaddiki gamurinenu. They're both tzaddiks. So what's the difference between Avado and Lo Avado? Ella says the Gemara, Eino dome shone pirko mea pa'amim l'shone pirko mea ve'echad. Says the Gemara, you can't compare a person who reviews that which he learned 100 times to a person who reviews what he learned 101 times. Says the Gemara, they're both great people. 100 times is pretty good. I'll divide by all of us 100 times. But the 101st time that a person does makes him into a league of his own. He's called Oved Elokim. Compared to the person that only reviewed 100 times, he's called Lo Avado. I'm going to give you a shout out. I have a friend who lives in Atlanta, Georgia. He's a rabbi there. His name is Rabbi Freundlich. Josh, I knew him as Josh, now he's known as Chatzko Freundlich. He's a wonderful fellow. We went to Cambiata together. One time, a few years ago, he's married with children. A few years ago, he made a siyum. And he invited a lot of people over to his house. What was the siyum on? You're not going to believe this, I will say. Every single Friday night, for the span of 2 years, he learned the same sugya of Gemara. Do the math. How many weeks are there in a Jewish year?
52.
52 weeks. 52. And another 49. Gives you how many? 101. What happened? He reviewed the same Gemara 101 times. He had a Seder every Friday night. And he reviewed the Gemara 101 times. And he made a sim on reviewing the same piece of Gemara 101 times. You don't have to go to Atlanta, Georgia. We have an hour yeshiva. One of the Rabbeinu Yeshiva's name is Rabbi Roblowski. You may know him. He has a son. His oldest son, his name is Benny. Benny's just turned bar mitzvah this past year, before the summer. And his bar mitzvah is, you could touch him. He comes every day to the Beis Medrash to, don't touch him. But he comes every day to the Beis Medrash to learn the Beis Medrash. He's 13 years old. I was there. I'm not telling you a hearsay story. At his bar mitzvah, he made a siyum on Seder Moed, all of Mishnayos Moed, 101 times. You heard me? 101 times he reviewed before his bar mitzvah, before 13, the entire Seder Moed. That's Mishnayos Shabbos, Erevin, Pesachim, Shkalim, Rosh Hashanah, Yuma, Sukkah, Tanis, Chagiga, Moed Katan, Beitza. I think I didn't skip any, but I may have. 101 times he reviewed that. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. I saw his chart as he was checking things off. I was like, wow. It's like, wow, give me a piece of that. It's unbelievable. It's a different league, a different zone. When it comes to Yiddishkeit, when it comes to matters of spirituality, fellas, every single step that a person takes in a direction that will help them grow is meaningful. And the Torah highlights that by telling us, Vayikach, Shem Bayeves. But Yeves also took it. The answer is, but yeah, but Shem exerted more, and that exertion is recognized by the Torah as though he's the only one that did it. And I close with the following story. A very nice story that I saw in this Sefer. Very nice Sefer called Baruch Yinafshi, one of my favorites. A very nice Sefer. There was a fellow, a Jewish boy in Eretz Israel, who the rabbis and his teachers saw, that this fellow was destined for greatness. When he learned seriously. And he had a very good head. And he reviewed a lot. He was a very, very unique fellow. And he got engaged. And he got engaged to a very, very respectable family in Eretz Yisrael. And at the engagement party, one of the rabbis that was sitting at the head table turned to the Rosh Hashiva of this boy and said, just tell me something about this boy. Tell me how he was able to become who he became. Give me a story. You know, he's so unique. He has such fine character. He has such fine midos. Like, what is it about him? What made him so special? Listen to the story, guys. Unbelievable. So the Rosh Hashiva said, I'll tell you the following story. This, I think, defines this kid and shows what made him so special. He said, I gave a shiur, the Rosh Yeshiva said, I gave a shiur every single day in the yeshiva to the third year guys in the yeshiva. Shiur Gimel, it's called. Okay. My job in the yeshiva wasn't only to be the Rosh Yeshiva, I was also the menahel of the yeshiva. I was also the guy that was in charge of taking care of the financial burden of yeshivas, which as some of you probably don't know, but maybe some of you do know, there's major burdens to run a yeshiva. Most yeshivas aren't making money. Never enough money. There isn't. Trust me. There's never enough money in yeshivas. There's not enough. But it costs a lot of money to run yeshivas. Even if you pay a lot of tuition, which I know you do pay a lot of tuition. But still, it doesn't cover the cost usually. David goes every year to fundraise to America. He hates fundraising. He goes because he wants the yeshiva to stay afloat. Okay. So sometimes he said, I would have to wait. Because it was time for shiur. And a donor would come. And I had to sit with a donor. I couldn't tell donor to leave with time for shiur, so I'd be late to shiur sometimes. Or I'd get a phone call at a very important phone call. I couldn't ignore the phone call. He said every single day when this happened, this student would look at his watch, he'd come to the door, and he would knock on the door, and in a genuine, sweet, soft voice, he would say, Rebbe, when is shiur going to start? I can't wait for shiur. Not like a... It wasn't like trying to smooch Rosh Hashiva. He genuinely wanted to hear shiur. And while the other boys were talking around and saying, talking about whatever they're talking about, this fellow was worried because he wanted shiur. And he understood that Rosh Hashiva had problems with net to take care of the fundraising, but Rebbe, when is shiur going to start? This Rosh Hashiva said, this set her apart from everybody else. This little knock on the door, which happened whenever it happened, would show that he wanted. He cared. Like they say in this country, ichpatlo. Ichpatlo. He wanted more. He wanted a little something. Just in this Rosh Hashiva's opinion, just set him above the rest of the guys in the Shiva. I want to just close with the following bracha to all of us. The bracha is that we should understand this message. We should never say, it doesn't really matter. Someone else will do it. It doesn't really matter if I exert myself or push a little harder. It doesn't really matter how much effort I put in. It'll get done. My charusa will stay in the room so I can go out and hang out outside in the coffee room for a long time. Every bit of effort is recognized. Every bit of effort is important. Every bit of effort is what we learn from this parasha makes a big difference. We should be zocha to utilize our strengths and to exert ourselves in the most healthy and powerful way possible, and be zocha to be as great as we could be. Have a wonderful Shabbos.